This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
All right, gearheads, welcome to the show. We just watched the Formula One Mexican Grand Prix, and Max Verstappen wins his 14th race of the season.
Boom.
There's the right word, boom, yeah. The most ever from a driver in a single season. This is John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin, Texas, and I'm joined by Jonathan Green, Les Kaiser, and Bob Varsha over Zoom. And we're going to have a special guest that we're going to introduce here in just a moment, but I want to start with you, Mr. Varsha.
Yo,
he's awake. So, not
is
the
it
most.
Over?
Yeah, we have to admit it. It's not the most exciting.
The podium was the most exciting part. I just watched it.
No, this is awesome, though.
What'd you think, Bob?
Well, you know, if you're a fan of tire strategies and the DRS and all that sort of thing, and some beautiful crowd shots and what have you, or Mexico City as a worldwide metropolis, you probably thought it was a lot of fun. But, you know, honesty compels me to admit that was a bit of a snoozer. Another dominant show by Max Verstappen and Red Bull, who are now just obviously completely in control of their destiny. And by extension, everybody else's. Nice battle for a while for second and third place. And then everything just seemed to get strung out again. Probably the highlight for me was the driving of Daniel Ricciardo, the much maligned and soon to be former McLaren driver Daniel Ricciardo, who got a little over aggressive and clouded Yuki Tsunoda out of the race and was given a 10-second penalty. But he was on a set of red tires that he was running extra laps on, and he just flew and wound up not only moving up to get good points in, what was he, seventh for his McLaren team, who were in a battle for a good position at the Constructors' Championship, but he also overcame a 10-second penalty for causing a collision and held on to that position, whereas he might have lost it had he not done so. So, you know, that was fun to watch. The rest of it, congratulations to Max Verstappen and to Sergio Perez getting back on the podium again in his home Grand Prix.
Yeah, Jonathan, what do you think? I mean, Perez could have had better with a pit stop, maybe.
Yeah, that 5-second pit stop never helped compared to a two-second one by obviously his teammate. But I mean, you know, like you say, it wasn't the most exciting of races. I think for me, what stands out, you know, when I see the chance of Hamilton versus Verstappen, we all went, ooh, mouth-watering, and we all think back to last year. I think with Max taking the 14th win and beating the record, the most in a season, Vettel and Schumacher held it at 13. Hamilton before that had 12 in a season. I think that puts to bed any question marks as to whether Red Bull, whether they spent too much money, they didn't spend too much money, deserve to be in this ascendance and have stopped the dominance by Mercedes in Formula One of the last decade. And that bodes well for the future of the sport, and they thoroughly deserve it, regardless of some of the issues that they've had. And today just proved it.
Well, I want to take this opportunity. We have someone who's joined us in the booth here in Austin to give his perspective. We have a young race car driver that we have been following for a couple of years. He lives right here in Austin, Texas, and he's currently in the US F4 Championship right now. Ryan Sheehan. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
What is your take on this race today? I know it was a little slow, but what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, pretty dominant after the first round of pit stops by Max. So yeah, I mean, the battle was, you know, you didn't really know who was going to end up on top at the start. But yeah, once Max had those mediums on, sayonara.
Well, we're going to be picking your brain today about getting the driver's perspective, because right now you're currently fourth in the US F4 Championship. You've had a fantastic run lately. You've had, what, two wins and five or six podiums? times?
Yeah, yeah. We had a good streak going until a DNF ended it, but I think it was 5 or 6 podiums in a row and the two wins.
We got some good news coming from you later in the show. Jonathan, you've been following this young man for longer than I have.
Yeah, and I want to put it in perspective. This week, he's racing for the final 3 races in the championship. Mathematically, he has a chance of winning the overall title. You never say never in Formula 4. And he's going to be racing here at home. And I want to let the audience in the USA know that this is the first driver we've had from Austin who went to the Circuit of the Americas. I'll let him tell the story. But he's coming full circle because he's about to go international racing. And that's a story in itself. I'll be there with him. But I think, it's the first Austinite we've finally seen catch the bug and live the dream. Live in the dream, yeah, would you say?
Tell us, Ryan, how you got interested in all this.
Yeah, COTA was definitely the thing that, gave me the bug. Right when it opened, we went out and watched some sports cars go out, and that just fell in love with it.
How old were you?
I think it was 8. It was in 2013, like a year after it opened. So 8 years old, went in, told my dad I wanted to be a race car driver. Luckily, he didn't.
Your dad's young, but he looks about 86 since you made that decision.
Yeah, I might have aged a bit.
There you go.
That's the way it's supposed to work. You go to the race and you go, that's what I want to do.
And what was the first thing you did? Because there's a lot of kids out there listening. What did you do?
Yeah, go-karting.
Okay.
I mean, that's where pretty much probably everyone on the F1 grid started. You learn all your basic racecraft there. So... if you want to be a race car driver, that's where you start. So we did that for 6-ish years and still carrying all that that information that I learned in karting with me to today.
And you've made a big impact in Austin too. I mean, you and your father have spent a lot of time getting the support from the community in Austin. And I think that's something that's not happened before.
Yeah, there hasn't really. I mean, obviously, COTA has people involved in Formula One, but even a few years ago, it wasn't that big. People might know of Formula One, but they don't really know anything. It's been nice to be able to, talk to people, going to chamber meetings is something that we've done a lot. But yeah, they actually really know what Formula One is now. So that's been really interesting.
That's awesome because, I remember when this first, came to light that everybody seems to just think racing is NASCAR.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do it. I remember us going to an event and there was a football guy leading the discussion and it was like, no, please stop talking. But now here you go. So you've got a nice rack of sponsors that are in behind you now. It hasn't been easy, but are you also seeing those people begin to recognize the racing that you're doing?
Yeah. I think even in the last year around Austin, or some of my sponsors around Austin have really, gotten involved in it and gotten really excited about it. I had a few out when I raced at COTA in September and they just, they fell in love. They were really invested. They were, happy to support me. But once they actually came out to the track, they were crazy. They were really invested. So,
well, I think
it's cool.
Gives a lot of them a way to be part of racing.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's talk a little Mexico Grand Prix. Got a little bit more. We had some news today or this weekend about the Mexico Grand Prix that it's going to continue. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Yeah, got an extension, a big extension for Mexico. As you know, COTA's got its extension. We know about Miami, but that all bodes well for North America full stop. We've now got Canada as robust as it's ever been. COTA is going from strength to strength. It's got a new deal. Miami was a huge success, let's face it. And I don't think anybody doubts that Las Vegas will be a success. I'm really interested to see what the undercard will be. I wish there were more Formula 4, more Formula 3, the sort of things that the way we get to see the likes of Ranchin, doing what they do in front of a big audience, because that's important. There's a disconnect in my mind at the moment between the FIA Junior Series coming up. We've seen what's happened to the W Series, and they are trying to mend ways by doing a Formula 4 version for young women of 16. But I think this is an area of motorsport, and Lewis Hamilton was vociferous about this last week, that we're not really putting enough time and energy into, and that is the junior formula and women in motorsport, full stop.
All right, we got a couple of comments that are coming in on YouTube and other places. Danny Rick seems to be the driver of the day is official now, by the way.
Ah, good man.
Driver of the day for Daniel Ricciardo.
Not in Japan, he's not.
Yeah, Bob, you were right. I think that's a worthy choice after today. I think that was probably the most exciting thing we saw all day was Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, I think so.
What else? It's Mike says, I enjoyed the little spat between Ocon and Bottas, lap 43. There was some other action on the track. It wasn't just Daniel Ricciardo, but close. what else, Jonathan?
Obviously, Daniel Ric stands out, but I thought Alonso, sadly, was having one of his best outings all season. Yeah. And again, the Alpine is, you know, kind of punching not above its weight. It's coming into its own. I'm now beginning to wonder whether his decision to leave is at the right time or the wrong time, because I think Alpine are going to be a force to be reckoned with, especially with Gasly and Ocon. Ocon has held his own against every teammate he's had, including Alonso, who he is ahead in the points. And I think he's going to push Gasly all the way. And I think Alpine, by that fact, will become a very, very potent force next year.
All right, we're hoping to connect Chris Medlin because he's at the Mexico Grand Prix. And I have a feeling, guys, we're going to have a little trouble with Chris because of the crowd. We had trouble getting him on the pre-show. We'll get him, though. If nothing else, he'll send us some interviews. But I just checked. Chris said that some penalties. What was it? Oh, Magnussen summoned for driving slowly on the also on the recon lap, as well as
Latifi. How could they tell?
By the way, on a positive side, Haas currently in eighth position. Remember, they scored nothing last year. 36 points, 1 point ahead of AlphaTauri. Two races to go. It's going to be hard to stop AlphaTauri, given Gasly's form, given Tsunoda now coming through. Those boys are going to have to be on their money in the next two races, but I'd love to see them finish eighth. And that would be not that many points off Aston Martin. Pretty impressive, given the last couple of years, fallow years they've had. But this was the preparation that they set out to do, which was to not develop. And they've done, I think, a hell of a sterling job, given that they've bounced back the way they have.
Yeah, and let me just run down the entire order today in case you missed it. Verstappen wins the race, of course, followed by Hamilton. Checo Perez, home race, on the podium. If you can't win the race, I guess that's the next best thing for him. The crowd loved it.
Go ahead.
Well, you go ahead, and I'll make a point about the standings when you get done.
Yeah, sure. And then Russell in fourth, and followed by the two Ferrari signs and Leclerc in sixth. Daniel Ricciardo seventh, like we talked about. Good finish. Esteban Ocon eighth. Lando Norris ninth. Valtteri Bottas finished in the points after having a really good start to the weekend. That was exciting to see. Gasly, Albon, Zhou Guan Yu in 13th. Vettel down in 14th. Lance Stroll, Schumacher in 16th. Magnussen 17th. And then Latifi 18th, and Alonso disappointing to not finish the race. What was your point, Bob, about those standings?
Well, there's a couple of battles brewing that I think are going to be a lot of fun, and they were affected today. I mean, yep. In the constructors, where the money is really paid, Alpine and McLaren came in 11 points apart for fourth behind the big three teams in the constructors. They are now 3 points apart with two races to go. And down in eighth place, Haas is now holding off AlphaTauri. Yep. By just 1 point for that position, with millions of dollars in prize money at stake. And in the battle for runner-up in the Drivers' Championship, Charles Leclerc is only 2 points ahead of Sergio Perez right now, as Red Bull tries to pick up the only honors they haven't already claimed, and that would be to have two drivers finish 1-2 in the championship, which they've never done before.
Mm. Hey, Jonathan, there's some comments coming in on social that are directed. One of them is actually asking a question directly. We'll get to that one next, but the first one is from Frank, and he says, right on for more of the junior circuit on the undercard for these races. That's how we can develop more North American drivers.
Absolutely.
Let's go. Yeah.
And
don't
Ryan
ask me.
Grinning ear to ear as we talk about this. Ryan, you have a singular goal, don't you?
Yeah. Formula One, obviously.
No, well, you say that. It's not for North American. There are other options. Yeah. So tell us about that. Why?
I mean, it's the top tier motorsports, really. So, I mean, you see the cars in person. Like last weekend, we were out at F1, and you see the cars in person. And it's, yeah, as a racing driver, you want to do that because you just see the speed. There's nothing else like it.
I love this singular. It's like, set my goal there. You know, I'll worry about what's below that later. later. If I don't make it there, that's great, Ryan.
Exactly.
I love that.
Thank you.
Well, I think, you know, the right approach. You just keep doing things, aiming for that as you go. I mean, grab every steering wheel you can, but, you know, keep looking at the goal. We've seen so many of them that get an opportunity to go into other series as they're headed that way, but it's maintain that course.
One thing I will say, observing sort of Ryan and the rest of his, you know, counterparts, the rest of his competition, because I've done a lot of F4 and F3 in the last few years here in the States, and you know I've done McLaren and Toyota, but I think what I notice about Ryan, which is rare in a young driver, is he was tuned in at 15 to the importance of raising money and understanding that that is such a huge part. There are 200,000 drivers who can drive within a tenth of each other. I'm picking that figure out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, that's kind of what we're talking about. Imagine if you're an athlete that did the 100 meters. A lot of people can do 11 seconds or 12 seconds or even under that. But it's very few people that understand the business of Formula One. And Ryan stands out to me, of all the guys he competes against, of being a kind of a sponsor's dream in terms of showing up, in terms of shaking their hands, explaining stuff, and being present and understanding that actually that side of it is, if not 50, more than that about being a modern racing driver. And that is something that, you know, when you meet somebody Ryan's age, you expect them to be full of confidence, very fast, but they still are sort of young and they haven't quite picked up on the business side of it. But Ryan's already ahead of his counterparts that way.
That's right, Ryan. You're 16 right now?
17.
70. You just turned 17 recently, didn't you?
February.
Okay. I was thinking it was
20th?
Yeah, 11.
Ah, close.
Yeah, and you're right, Jonathan. You don't see the driver and the dad and all the people involved doing all the steps right, because there's a lot of places you can fumble the ball and not do this right, and you're doing a great job.
You know, I mean, not being funny, but look at the greatest driver of all time. Lewis Hamilton was doing this with his dad. His dad had four jobs, and Lewis was at the Autosport Awards picking up his prize as a karting guy and walking straight over to Ron Dennis and saying, I want to drive for you one day. And you know, these things are sometimes forgotten. Likewise, Verstappen, the current world champion, literally was born into this sport. His father, Jos, was as big a superstar in many ways and had the following back in the day, I remember it well, that he has. Now it's obviously the Orange Army is even bigger than it ever was. But, you know, like I said, it's a side of motor racing that a lot of people out there don't really give credit to, which is you've got to work it. You've got to work the floorboards.
Ryan, who is the guy you're going to walk up to at awards night this year?
Good idea.
Maybe Christian Horner or Helmut Marko.
There you go.
There you go. Good call.
Or maybe Michael Andretti if he's in the room.
Even better.
I'll go to them all.
Yeah, there you go. That's the right attitude.
Increase my chances.
All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will talk more to Mr. Ryan Sheehan, but we'll talk a little bit more about the Mexican Grand Prix. And also, we have lots of F1 stories, including an interview with Michael Andretti we did at COTA. You're listening to Speed City, back after these messages.
USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Hoping to get Chris Medland here pretty soon.
Good luck.
Yeah, the cell service just may not be working for Chris, but hopefully he'll send us a clip or two during this post-race show. All right, guys, we were talking to young Ryan Sheehan. He is our guest in the studio here in Austin. He did the dream where he saw a race at COTA and said, I want to do that, and has turned that into a dream. But we didn't announce your big news, Ryan, because not only have you done the karting thing, you've now are competing for the championship in USF4. Going to do that, what, next weekend here in Austin?
Yeah, Wednesday through Friday.
Yeah. Next week. So now, is that the final race of the season?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so for all the marbles next weekend, and I know you're in third right now?
Fourth
right now, and you may not win the championship, but look, the trajectory, I think any driver coach or team or sponsor, anybody looking at you, they're looking at that trajectory, right? Where you started at the season going, this is my first year in USF4, I don't know how to even do this, and here you are now winning a couple of races, on the podiums, all this recently, but how did it come about that you have this big news where you are going to go to the Toyota Racing Series? And before you answer that question, I want to get Jonathan to set up the Toyota Racing Series, because he is literally the voice of the Toyota for how many years? 40?
Yeah, 11 years. So,
but just tell everybody the significance of the Toyota Racing Series.
It is, in my opinion, and I don't think that's just my opinion, it is without doubt the best junior single-seater series in the world. It's run brilliantly. New Zealand, I don't have to tell you about what they've produced in racing drivers, from Scott Dixon to Liam Lawson, currently reserve driver for AlphaTauri, and the current AlphaTauri driver. The last time I was there, Yuki Tsunoda was just a kid, just the same age as Ryan, and nobody knew who he was, really. He came over from Japan. He was a, you know, 100 dream thing, and now he's the Formula One guy. Liam Lawson's that close. Marcus Armstrong, again. I mean, the list is who's
Lando Norris.
If I go through the champions, Lando Norris was a champion. Lance Stroll was a champion. Liam Lawson was a champion. And then you've got drivers. I mean, five of the current FIA Formula 3 drivers were all ex. It really is a who's who. And what's so good about it is it's 6 weeks of racing, over 3,500 kilometers of racing, and so therefore it's a 15-round series jammed into 6 weeks. So don't crash, Ryan, for God's sake. But that sorts out the men from the boys or the girls from the men, whatever you look at it. It is tough. It's very intense. You are racing from a Thursday through Sunday. You are up against the very best juniors in the world. Helmut Marko watches every race. We have at least one Red Bull junior every year. And we've had them over the years. Lucas Auer became a Red Bull driver because of going to the Toyota Series. Liam Lawson was offered a contract on the day he finished and won his championship. He was offered a contract by Helmut Marko on the spot, and he was fighting against Marcus Armstrong, who became a Ferrari Junior. So there is no doubt in my mind, if you want to know where the future of Formula One is, tune in to the Toyota Racing Series.
Okay, Ryan, how did it happen?
Yeah, obviously we were doing really good in the middle of the year, around the summer break. They'd kind of talked about it, the team. Obviously I raced with CrossLink Kiwi, or Kiwis New Zealand. They run their own team down there. So it was always kind of a thought. But we were doing really good. So they kind of brought it up. He said, just think about it. It might be good for you. And then we just kept the momentum going, got a few race wins, got a few podiums. So they were like, you should really consider this. We signed the contract a few weeks ago. And yeah, now we're on our way in January.
Mm. And funnily enough, the team that Ryan runs for at Kiwi Motorsport, they are one of the five teams in the Toyota Racing Series. And they are a Kiwi team, but because it's their summer in January and February, the Kiwi Motorsport are based raced here during their winter, run by Gary Orton and Tina Larson, and they are quite literally the most successful Formula 4 team in the USA. Pretty impressive. Mm,
good to be connected with them.
So absolutely.
Technically, and the specs of these cars, are they in that global F4 series that they're all the same cars spec, or are they deviated?
No, he's going up a championship. It's a series of FIA spec Formula 3 cars, but with a slightly different chassis than they use in the FR championship here. They use Ligier here. They'll be using Titus chassis, but they're exactly the same cars to the point of the W series, which of course the girls run. They took the cars, shipped them up to Singapore. So the cars that he'll be racing are the ones that were in the W series, and they are exactly the same. Except obviously they got a Toyota engine in the back, but it's the same. It's exactly the same spec as FIA F3. So if you can succeed in that, that's why it's such an important championship. Because the team managers from all over the world are looking at how you do in this very intense series in 6 weeks to look ahead to the series. And, of course, having done 3,000 kilometers, you go straight into the summer series in March of either a national FR series or F3 series all over the world. So these guys have got a real step up by racing in January and February.
I've been watching Ryan as you talk about how intense this is. He's like,
ask a question here?
Yeah, jump in, Bob.
Hi, Ryan. This is Bob out there in the ether. let me ask you, I know it's very early in your career, but do you have professional management now, or have you spoken with any experienced managers?
Yeah, we're actually starting. Yeah, it's pretty. We're actually starting to do that right now. We started to get some success. And so they've kind of come out of the woodworks and started to appear. So, yeah, we're starting to
answer the phone on the fifth ring.
Right. Check their records. But there's a lot of good ones out there. And I think that's really important in a young driver's career. Yeah, your family has been there with you all the way, paying all that money, doing whatever they needed to do. But, you know, pretty soon you're going to have to make very strategic moves, even at the lower levels of the junior series. And so I'd recommend that you get someone you trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
I got a question for you. I just mentioned the business side that I've seen you, propel yourself well in. What has been the hardest thing? There's a lot of kids out there want to get their daughter or their son into this. What has been the hardest thing to learn about motor racing?
I do think it is probably 80-20 on the business side, because you're only racing 4 days a month, maybe. Sometimes it's even a longer gap than that. So yeah, and then the rest of the time you're working on sponsors, working with your team. So yeah, it is mostly business, I'd say.
Well, okay, business absolutely important, but you still got to drive. How do you stay in tune only being on the track 4 times a month? Are you going to here we've got New Braunfels, Houston, Dallas karting, all of that. Are you going out to those areas to stay tuned, or what do you do for that?
Not really any karting, especially during the season, just because it's so different that I feel like race car drivers will usually use karting for like fitness. You'll see F1 drivers doing it in the wintertime, but they don't really do it during the season, just because I think it takes time to get back used to the car. So they haven't really wanted me to drive anything else. So it's limited to just testing in the car at a local track, but that takes money, so you can't do that every week.
So where do you do that around here?
Crescent.
MSR Crescent.
It's where the team is located, so it's really easy to just drive out of the garage. And
nice track
laps.
Too. Good club sport track.
Mm. Yeah, folks, we're getting some feedback. People are liking the interviews on YouTube and other places. We got Andy P popping in to give us a couple of messages.
He'll be your manager.
Yeah. Andy P says, could not believe after Friday when all the teams said they were a step too hard on tires and so many went to the hardest compound, especially Mercedes. Says, great job by Ricardo, who ran the mediums till the absolute end and then went racy into the softs. That was the way to go. That was nice. Frank says, it's a great interview. Very enlightening, guys. I'm glad you guys are enjoying that, because it's interesting. We're getting to see the genesis of the idea that you want to be a race driver, and we're following it all the way through and to now stepping up. Really, this is the big time now, going to Toyota Racing Series. Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And it's fascinating. Well, hey, Bob Varsha, do you want to give us a quick update on the standing to see if
I'm going
to
fall on my sword here. here a little bit. I don't know how this happened, but checking the constructor's standings, they've now changed since I said what I said earlier about the great battles behind the big three teams, which is weird because the driver standings did not change. The constructors did. I wish they'd figured this stuff out before they post it. But the news is even better because while Alpine and McLaren are 7 points apart for fourth among constructors, there's a battle for sixth between Alfa Romeo and Aston Martin. That's only 4 points apart.
Yeah.
And then you have the run for eighth place, which didn't change. It's Haas by 1 point over AlphaTauri since none of those four drivers scored points today. But in the drivers, it's still Leclerc over Perez by two, unless they change the standings again.
Yeah.
So that's my caveat.
I like the idea of Perez being so close to Leclerc. It could be a Red Bull 1-2 if they play their cards right.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. How the mighty have fallen at the beginning of the season. It seems like a year ago or last season when Ferrari was leading the championship by a pretty good chunk, if I'm not mistaken. Something
like 63 points or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. It was a pretty decent amount. And here we are with them.
By the way, yeah, Hamilton could catch Carlos Sainz and finish behind Russell, his teammate.
Well, at the moment, according to the site, so that has to count.
Don't hit refresh.
Hamilton says 216 and Sainz at 212. So we're only 4 points spread between those guys. And I love seeing that competition between those two.
All right, gentlemen, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have more Formula One discussion after the break. Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstott Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstott beer, fantastic. And I'm, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep, it's all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadt Beer, Altstadt Beer.com. Altstadt Beer, Altstadt Beer.com.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. We're in the studio in Austin, Texas. We're in the backup studio today. If it sounds a little rough, we're working in the backup studio. But we have our special guest, Ryan Sheehan, in the booth with us. And we are talking about the Mexico Grand Prix, talking about his path to Formula One. And Ryan, I do want to ask you about going down to New Zealand. You'll have a little bit of a safety blanket because you'll have Jonathan there to hang on to. And your folks that you've been working with are from down there, Kiwi.
Yeah.
So you've got all this comfort zone. I mean, do you feel like you kind of have a leg up because of all that?
Yeah. I'm technically not even racing with the same people. We're actually, my engineer.
Explain that. Yeah.
Yeah. My engineer here works with CrossLink Kiwi, but he has his own team down there.
Oh.
And so to keep some continuity, I'm racing for his team.
Okay.
Stephen Giles, Motorsport, who are one of the most successful teams in New Zealand, and also a former McLaren engineer. So a pretty handy team to be with.
Yeah, absolutely. Guy's a genius. So yeah, really excited to be with him.
Very cool. I like that. Let's see. I'm just looking through some of the stuff that everybody wanted to talk in the show. Bob, what was the story about the... We had the checkered flag incident last week. We had...
Tim Apple.
Mr. Enthusiasm.
Yeah, that was the most unenthusiastic flag wave I have ever seen, with the CEO of Apple just slowly waving.
But, wait a minute. Does Apple even sponsor anything F1? Am I missing it?
No, I don't think they do.
I think the movie that they're making is going to be on
Apple. It's all going to be Apple TV.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
There's the connection.
Thank you, Ryan. Glad you're here.
Yeah. Bob, what was the other flag waving?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. They need to give these celebrity flag wavers some kind
I
of
know.
Instruction.
Oh, the British model.
There. I mean, over the years, there's been incident after incident. I think Serena Williams was waving a flag once, and she kind of gave it one of those Tim Cook style things.
Which is
Brazilian
surprising.
Grand Prix once. Giselle Bundchen, soon to be the ex Mrs. Tom Brady, she was up there and she waved it on the wrong lap.
Good work.
So, you know, everybody was asleep at the stage. So, you know, this kind of stuff happens when you get people out there who don't know what they're doing. So I don't know what the solution is, but I think a quick primer in how to wave the flag would be good, because, you know, it's a moment of the ultimate celebration in a race. And to have, you know, this kind of thing going on is just silly.
You know? Yeah. If you want to laugh, we should bring the guy back from the 60s. If you go on YouTube and look at Formula One finishes at Rouen or you know, the guy has two flags. Yeah. He jumps up in the air and is on the track waving the flags. Now that we need.
Yeah. There was a guy at Watkins Glen who did it during that 20-year stretch. And his name just escapes me. I want to say Tex something or other, but I don't know. Anyway, same kind of deal. He would step out there on the track. And if you look, as Jonathan said, at any of the old videos of races finishing, you'll often see guys out there on the track, even at Le Mans, the 24
That's
hours.
Right. That's yeah. right.
Yeah. Jump right out there on the track and risk body and soul, you know, just to make it exciting.
Yep.
But gee whiz, I hope you do a better job running the company than you do waving
flags.
What
it was such an exciting race.
I know.
So juxtaposed.
Yeah, exactly. The exact anticlimactic wah, wah.
Yeah.
I think the other one was the European model, Winnie Harlow. She was running around with Lewis for a while, very recognizable. And she waved the flag a lap early.
Hey, guys. Chris Medlin apparently has been a busy boy, because I have seen that popped up on the screen that we have an interview that he did with Toto Wolff.
Wow.
Ooh.
So,
good man.
Checking our time. We got plenty of time. Let's go to that now.
Toto, it was it looked like a bit of a losing battle after the first couple of corners. Is there much else you think you could have done today to take the fight to Max?
I'm not sure, but I think it was worth the try with the tyres. But I take the positives. We have a car that's starting to compete at the front. We're not miles away anymore, but still. So, yeah, continue to develop and have a good mindset.
Yeah, because once you started on the mediums, I guess there wasn't really many other opportunities in terms of strategy for you to go for?
Yeah, we were stuck. By that moment, we were committed to the one-stop medium hard, and the other guys, you know, had a possible two-stop or medium soft. So yeah, it is what it is. You know, we need to analyze.
Were you surprised that the soft medium held up though for Red Bull?
At least with Checo, we thought that tire needs to go a certain stage because he hammered it at the beginning, but it didn't. It held on and against the model. So it will be interesting to understand.
And you mentioned though, like getting closer, improving the car. You're also chipping away at that gap to Ferrari. Is that a goal to try and get to them in second in the constructors this year?
Yeah, of course. But they had an off weekend this weekend, so they are still strong. And to be accounted for.
You are quicker than them in race pace, though, aren't you now? The last couple of races, do you not feel you have the edge?
Yeah, we were quicker, but don't forget, I still have it in my mind like three or four races ago when they outperformed us. So you need to be careful by thinking this is all super easy now.
Oh, well, you've worked hard to get to this position. So what are your hopes for Brazil next time out? Because that's another track at altitude. Do you think it'll suit you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Our models told us that this is the best one, but maybe we can prove the models wrong.
Are you enjoying the way the season's ending, though? as this momentum to take into next year?
Well, I'd rather win more, but yeah, momentum is there.
Great stuff. Thank you, Tessa.
What do you think, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, for a team that has to go right back to the annals to look when they didn't last have at least one win in a season, this has been a really rough year for Mercedes, who, let's face it, have dominated the world of Formula One for so long. And, you know, there was a bit of sportsmanship today. They admitted that they got the wrong tyres. You heard Toto on the thing, and you also heard both Russell and Hamilton, but he's always complaining about his tyres. But now the fight is on for a sort of a mini comeback to see if they could beat Ferrari, who, let's face it, up until the first half of the season, we thought were going to be the champions themselves. So I think that would be a small victory for Mercedes. And as you heard there, he'd prefer to have more wins, and they're looking towards the future. But the team have got through this together. And I think Lewis's remarks at the end, keep pushing. I mean, he seems as motivated as ever and has been talking in this last week about a multi-year deal. So,
Sorry, I think some of you couldn't hear the clip, and I apologize for that. But yeah, Toto sounded, the tone was kind of...
humble?
Yeah.
That's the right word.
A little bit, yeah. Because, I mean, you're just not used to hearing that from Toto, are you?
Right. Really not excuses. It's, took his pill and the lumps, and that was that.
And you remember when Red Bull were at the height of their powers with Vettel and Weber, Mercedes were still on the up and up, you know, just coming through. And so, you know, you could almost argue that half the factory at Red Bull probably have never really tasted the sort of victory and dominance they're having this season. So, you know, it's a point worth making. And I loved the idea of Mercedes potentially taking it all the way to Abu Dhabi, just clipping them at the last moment. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Ryan? You obviously follow Formula One. Well, how closely do you follow Formula One, and who kind of inspires or would you look up to want to emulate?
I mean, obviously, I follow F super closely, watching every practice that I can, unless in Japan at 1 a.m. the night before a race.
Like, ask Bob about that one.
But following it as close as I can. I'm a pretty big Verstappen fan, just because as a driver, he's who you want to strive to be. Aggressive, doesn't make mistakes. So, yeah, I'm a big Verstappen fan.
That's interesting that you pick him, because, yes, of course, he's popular with the Orange Army, but he's not everybody's best cup of tea. But you're right. He makes very few mistakes. You can't help but be impressed. 14 wins in a season. I think that's actually at 24. He's only a few years older than you. And what was it? I was looking at the thing. 190th podium today. I mean, sorry, that was Hamilton. But 34th win at 24. That is, I mean, I've been following Formula One since the 70s, and I can't think back to somebody in his age who potentially could beat Schumacher's and Hamilton's accolades. We always used to say during the Prost Senna, it'll never happen again. Nobody will get four championships. Nobody will get... Schumacher comes along, seven. It really is amazing.
I'm going to say, okay, Max on the track, but Lando in person.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I hear
nice.
A similarity to this. I mean, well-placed confidence, professionalism, and well-spoken.
Did I mention Lando Norris came to the Toyota Racing Series? Oh, and Joe Guan Yu.
Yeah.
To answer your question, the last winless Formula One season for Mercedes was 2011.
11. Yep, exactly.
Wow.
That's a long time ago now. Yeah. Amazing.
And I mean, Toto, for people who couldn't hear Toto, Jonathan, do you think that they've got a shot?
Yes, I do. I really do. I think the momentum of the team, you heard it there with, I mean, the whole weekend, they got the wrong tire choice. They did great in qualifying. They made a mess up strategically, perhaps. And that's why Verstappen was able to dominate. They were faultless, as Ryan points out. Perez had his problems, and therefore Verstappen didn't have the help that he might have needed. Russell and Hamilton were in a position, had Hamilton held on to the lead when he got it, because remember, he started on the medium tyres compared to the soft, but that ended up being a compromise that they had, they couldn't last as well. And Toto just admitted it just then.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, I want to talk Andretti.
Okay.
Because I have to talk Andretti almost every show. And the effort,
I think you're right to do so, to be fair.
I'm glad. I'm joking, but I think somebody needs to. That's really my point. So I started looking yesterday going, what's going on? We haven't heard anything except what we found out at COTA. And we saw Michael Andretti there. And in fact, Les, you went and caught up with him. And we're going to go ahead and play this clip now. It's just a quick little 30-second clip. Just literally caught up with him in the paddock as he was walking by. He was generous enough to stop and give us. But let's hear from
him. He's gotten to know us.
Yeah, let's hear from Michael Andretti.
We're making progress. That's about all I could say. I think, we're still headed in the right direction.
So I'm guessing you're probably here having meetings and
everybody's in the same town and you can get a lot of work done, when everybody's right here.
How soon do you think the soonest would be we would see an Andretti car on grid?
Well, I mean, our goal is still for 24, so, we'll see. Is it going to happen? Not sure, but we're not going to stop until we're told we can't.
What names would be in the Andretti car?
Wow, that little early for that, but obviously Colton would be leading the way for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Les, don't let that little giggle when he's saying it's too early because
yeah, three days later.
Well, not only that, that's how you get a good answer out of somebody. You never know, right?
So No, absolutely. Yeah, you got to ask the obvious sometimes.
Well, there we go. On the 25th, a couple of days later, Colton Herta, Cambridge, extend with Andretti through 27.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah,
that's true. That it was.
And that's
So the points of that were they're making progress. They're not giving up. And 2024 when they hope to be on the grid. So we just don't know, guys, but I think we just keep pushing and asking. And
also in the press today, we've got the announcement that Porsche will be the Sauber works team or make them a works team. So therefore, they're going to supply engines to Alfa Romeo and Sauber. Thank you, Ryan. Audi. But does that therefore open the door? Andretti announced that they were going Renault, but they still haven't got their place yet. And I don't think, unless contracts have been signed and it's a long way to 24, there could be a possibility of them being the guinea pig for Audi. Excuse me. Glad you corrected me on that.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Why not? I mean, and of course, he's already got a fantastic relationship with Honda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Andretti has history with Porsche also.
That's true.
And so what it...
In E, right?
Does Porsche and the Andretti name, that combination, do they compound each other's interest to FIA and F1 to get on the grid and go, if you two are coming together, why not?
I think...
Interesting.
I think that... And I'm not the only one. I mean, if you look around, if you do a little digging, you have to dig a little bit, but...
Put that in your pipe, Toto.
Yeah, exactly. And so... What do you think, Varsha? What do you think? I mean, Porsche and Andretti sounds like a great marriage to me.
Well, that certainly would be a convenient tie-up, especially since Andretti and Porsche are going to join forces in the Formula E World Championship next year with some terrific drivers. So, I think the fact that the Andretti folks and the Porsche folks get together and start comparing notes about lots of things, could be a good step in the right direction. And if they were to go knocking on the door of the FIA in Paris saying, okay, we're the complete package now. Here's your powerhouse international motoring brand that you wanted so badly, teaming up with an exciting new team with an extraordinary legacy and a proven history in motorsports, up to and including the Indy 500 and what have you. I don't see how they can turn them down. It's just, it's just beyond comprehension that they would not want an Andretti Porsche team on the grid, or an Andretti anything.
Yeah, I agree. And look what the Porsche Audi battle in WEC in sports car championship has done around the world for both those brands and for the sport of sports car racing over the last decade. So, Formula One would be idiots not to see that as a fantastic battle going head-to-head.
And Porsche was in on Formula One back in the late 50s.
Yes, and more recently, too.
Look at the late 80s.
With Williams.
The Tag Heuer Porsche went out, or the Tag Porsche, I should say, went out and swept up the floor with everybody, with Prost and Senna at McLaren.
Maybe that's what they're afraid of.
The one thing that occurred to me while I was thinking about Andretti coming back to Formula One somehow is that I wrote down it would bring a genuineness to Formula One that we're kind of losing. We've lost the Williams team and their legacy. Bruce McLaren and, it's not the
Ken
same.
Tyrrell.
I mean, am I on the right track there?
I think you are, yeah. I actually do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're describing the very phenomenon that is that's proving a drag on the Andretti efforts. That Formula One apparently doesn't give a rap's you know what about their history and their legacy. And I think that's a shame. And it's not unusual in motorsports, I can tell you, from 40 years of doing this. But yeah, it's a big mistake if they forget all the things you're talking about, the great names, the great seasons, the great champions, and the dear departed. I mean, it's glorious stuff.
Bob, we're going to take that clip and send it to the FIA and the Formula One. All right, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back after these messes.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, Jonathan, you got a theory on Mario Andretti and Michael Andretti's efforts?
Well, I think it is tantamount to everything we've been saying. We're now 10 years old and we wanted a track. We wanted a team. We wanted a driver. And those drivers are in big abundance, including the man sitting to my right, because you do have Colton Herta. You do have Pato O'Ward, who, let's face it, I know he's from Mexico, but hails from down the road in San Antonio. You've got Cameron Das. You've got Juan Manuel Correa. You've got Jack Crawford in Texas Monthly this week. Yep. The world is waking up to what Formula One is, what this sport is to the rest of the globe. And so I would turn to Ryan at 17 and go, man, you timed that well.
I was thinking that same thing, Jonathan.
So, I mean, the point is these guys are getting recognition. They're starting to be seen. And that can only mean that more people are getting interested. We've seen that from 440,000. Now it needs some wealthy people to go, God, why am I not involved? How can I get involved?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. We're in the studio in Austin, Texas. We're in the backup studio today. If it sounds a little rough, we're working in the backup studio. But we have our special guest, Ryan Sheehan, in the booth with us. And we are talking about the Mexico Grand Prix, talking about his path to Formula One. And Ryan, I do want to ask you about going down to New Zealand. You'll have a little bit of a safety blanket because you'll have Jonathan there to hang on to. And your folks that you've been working with are from down there, Kiwi. Yeah. So you've got all this comfort zone. I mean, do you feel like you kind of have a leg up because of all that?
Yeah. I'm technically not even racing with the same people. We're actually, my engineer.
Explain that.
Yeah, my engineer here works with CrossLink Kiwi, but he has his own team down there.
Ah.
So to keep some continuity, I'm racing for his team.
Okay. But,
Stephen Giles, Motorsport, who are one of the most successful teams in New Zealand, and also a former McLaren engineer. So a pretty handy team to be with.
Yeah, absolutely. Guy's a genius. So yeah, really excited to be with him.
Very cool. I like that. Let's see. I'm just looking through some of the stuff that everybody wanted to talk in the show. Bob, what was the story about the... We had the checkered flag incident last week. We had...
Tim Apple. Tim,
Mr. Enthusiasm.
Yeah, that was the most unenthusiastic flag wave I have ever seen, with the CEO of Apple just slowly waving.
But, no, wait a minute. Does Apple even sponsor anything F1? Am I missing it?
No, I don't think they do.
I think the movie that they're making is going to be on
It's all going to be Apple TV.
Oh, that's
right.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
There's the connection.
Thank you, Ryan. Glad you're here.
Yeah. Bob, what was the other flag waving?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. They need to give these celebrity flag wavers some kind of...
I know.
Oh, the British model.
There. Yeah, I mean, over the years, there's been incident after incident. I think Serena Williams was waving a flag once, and she kind of gave it one of those Tim Cook-style things.
Which is
Brazilian
surprising.
Grand Prix once. Giselle Bundchen, soon to be the ex-Mrs. Tom Brady, she was up there, and she waved it on the wrong lap.
Good work.
So, you know, everybody was asleep at the stage. So, you know, this kind of stuff happens when you get people out there who don't know what they're doing. So I don't know what the solution is, but I think a quick primer in how to wave the flag would be good, because, you know, that's it's a moment of the ultimate celebration in a race. And to have, you know, this kind of thing going on is just silly.
You know? Yeah. If you want to laugh, we should bring the guy back from the 60s. If you go on YouTube and look at Formula One finishes at Rouen or you know, the guy has two flags. Yeah. He jumps up in the air and he's on the track waving the flags. Now that we need.
Yeah.
There
was a guy at Watkins Glen who did it during that 20-year stretch. And his name just escapes me. I want to say Tex something or other, but I don't know. Anyway, same kind of deal. He would step out there on the track. And if you look, as Jonathan said, at any of the old videos of races finishing, you'll often see guys out there on the track, even at Le Mans, the 24
That's
hours.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Jump right out there on the track and risk body and soul, you know, just to make it exciting.
Yep.
But gee whiz, I hope you do a better job running the company than you do waving
flags.
Well,
it was such an exciting race.
I know.
So juxtaposed.
Yeah,
exactly.
The exact anticlimactic wah, wah.
Yeah.
I think the other one was the European model, Winnie Harlow. She was running around with Lewis for a while, very recognizable. And she waved the flag a lap early.
Hey, guys. Chris Medlin apparently has been a busy boy, because I have seen that popped up on the screen that we have an interview that he did with Toto Wolff.
Wow.
So,
good man.
Checking our time. We got plenty of time. Let's go to that now.
Toto, it was it looked like a bit of a losing battle after the first couple of corners. Is there much else you think you could have done today to take the fight to Max?
I'm not sure, but I think it was worth a try with the tyres. But I take the positives. We have a car that's starting to compete at the front. We're not miles away anymore, but still. So, yeah, continue to develop and have a good mindset.
Yeah, because once you started on the mediums, I guess there wasn't really many other opportunities in terms of strategy for you to go for?
Yeah, we were stuck. By that moment, we were committed to the one-stop medium hard, and the other guys, had a possible two-stop or medium soft. So yeah, it is what it is. You know, we need to analyze.
Were you surprised that the soft medium held up though for Red Bull?
At least with Checo, we thought that tire needs to go a certain stage because he hammered it at the beginning, but it didn't. It held on and against the model. So it will be interesting to understand.
And you mentioned though, like getting closer, improving the car. You're also chipping away at that gap to Ferrari. Is that a goal to try and get to them in second in the constructors this year?
Yeah, of course. But they had an off weekend this weekend, so they are still strong. And to be accounted for.
You are quicker than them in race pace, though, aren't you now? The last couple of races, do you not feel you have the edge?
Yeah, we were quicker, but don't forget, I still have it in my mind like three or four races ago when they outperformed us. So we need to be careful by thinking this is all super easy now.
Oh, well, you've worked hard to get to this position. So what are your hopes for Brazil next time out? Because that's another track at altitude. Do you think it'll suit you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Our models told us that this is the best one, but maybe we can prove the models wrong.
Are you enjoying the way the season's ending, though? Because this momentum to take into next year?
while, I'd rather win more, but yeah, momentum is there.
Great stuff. Thank you, Tessa.
What do you think, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, for a team that has to go right back to the annals to look when they didn't last have at least one win in a season, this has been a really rough year for Mercedes, who, let's face it, have dominated the world of Formula One for so long. And, you know, there was a bit of sportsmanship today. They admitted that they got the wrong tyres. You heard Toto on the thing, and you also heard both Russell and Hamilton, but he's always complaining about his tyres. But now the fight is on for a sort of a mini comeback to see if they could beat Ferrari, who, let's face it, up until the first half of the season, we thought were going to be the champions themselves. So I think that would be a small victory for Mercedes. And as you heard there, he'd prefer to have more wins, and they're looking towards the future. But the team have got through this together, and I think Lewis's remarks at the end, keep pushing. I mean, he seems as motivated as ever, and has been talking in this last week about a multi-year deal. So,
Sorry, I think some of you couldn't hear the clip, and I apologize for that. But yeah, Toto sounded, the tone was kind of
humble.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the right word.
A little bit, yeah, because I mean, you're just not used to hearing that from Toto, are you?
Right, right. Really not excuses. It's took his pill and the lumps, and that was that.
And you remember when Red Bull were at the height of their powers with Vettel and Weber, Mercedes were still on the up and up, you know, just coming through. And so, you know, you could almost argue that half the factory at Red Bull probably, you know, have never really tasted the sort of victory and dominance they're having this season. So, you know, it's a point worth making. And I loved the idea of Mercedes potentially taking it all the way to Abu Dhabi, just clipping them at the last moment. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you, Ryan? I mean, obviously you follow Formula One. Well, how closely do you follow Formula One, and who kind of inspires or would you look up to want to emulate?
I mean, obviously I follow F super closely, watching every practice that I can, unless I'm in Japan at 1 a.m. the night before a race.
Like, ask Bob about that one.
But yeah, following it as close as I can. I'm a pretty big Verstappen fan, uh-huh, just because as a driver, he's who you want to strive to be. You know, aggressive, doesn't make mistakes. So yeah, I'm a big Verstappen fan.
That's interesting that you pick him, because he, you know, yes, of course he's popular with the Orange Army, but he's not everybody's best cup of tea. But you're right, he makes very few mistakes. You can't help but be impressed. 14 wins in a season. I think that's actually at 24. He's only a few years older than you. And what was it? I was looking at the thing. 190th podium today. I mean, sorry, that was Hamilton. But 34th win at 24. That is, I mean, I've been following Formula One since the 70s, and I can't think back to somebody in his age who potentially could beat Schumacher's and Hamilton's accolades. You know, we always used to say during the Prost Senna, it'll never happen again. Nobody will get four championships. Nobody will get, Schumacher comes along, seven. It really is amazing.
I'm going to say, okay, Max on the track, but Lando in person.
Yeah, I mean,
I hear a similarity to this. I mean, well-placed confidence, professionalism, and well-spoken.
Did I mention Lando Norris came to the Toyota Racing Series? Oh, and Joe Guan Yu.
Yeah.
To answer your question, the last winless Formula One season for Mercedes was 2011.
Yep, exactly.
Wow.
That's a long time ago now. Yeah. Amazing.
And I mean, Toto, for people who couldn't hear Toto, Jonathan, do you think that have they got a shot?
Yes, I do. I really do. I think the momentum of the team, you heard it there with, I mean, the whole weekend, they got the wrong tire choice. They did it great in qualifying. They made a mess up strategically, perhaps. And that's why Verstappen was able to dominate. They were faultless, as Ryan points out. Perez had his problems, and therefore Verstappen didn't have the help that he might have needed. Russell and Hamilton were in a position, had Hamilton held on to the lead when he got it, because remember, he started on the medium tyres compared to the soft, but that ended up being a compromise that they had, you know, that they couldn't last as well, and Toto just admitted it just then.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, I want to talk Andretti.
Okay.
Because I have to talk Andretti almost every show, and
I think you're right to do so, to be fair.
I'm glad, I'm joking, but I think somebody needs to. That's really my point. So I started looking yesterday going, what's going on? We haven't heard anything except what we found out at COTA. And we saw Michael Andretti there. And in fact, Les, you went and caught up with him. And we're going to go ahead and play this clip now. It's just a quick little 30-second clip. Just literally caught up with him in the paddock as he was walking by. He was generous enough to stop and give us. But let's hear from
him. He's gotten to know us.
Yeah, let's hear from Michael Andretti.
We're making progress. That's about all I could say. I think, we're still headed in the right direction.
So I'm guessing you're probably here having meetings and
everybody's in the same town and you can get a lot of work done, when everybody's right here.
How soon do you think the soonest would be we would see an Andretti car on grid?
Well, I mean, our goal is still for 24, so, we'll see. Is it going to happen? Not sure, but we're not going to stop until we're told we can't.
What names would be in the Andretti car?
Wow, that little early for that, but obviously Colton would be leading the way for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Les, don't let that little giggle when he's saying it's too early because
yeah, three days later.
Well, not only that, that's how you get a good answer out of somebody. You never know, right?
So No, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to ask the obvious sometimes.
Well, there we go. On the 25th, a couple of days later, Colton Herta, Cambridge, extend with Andretti through 27.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah,
that's true. That it was.
And that's
So the points of that were they're making progress. They're not giving up. And 2024 when they hope to be on the grid. So we just don't know, guys, but I think we just keep pushing and asking. And
also in the press today, we've got the announcement that Porsche will be the Sauber works team or make them a works team. So therefore, they're going to supply engines to Alfa Romeo and Sauber. Thank you, Ryan. Audi. But does that therefore open the door? Andretti announced that they were going Renault, but they still haven't got their place yet. And I don't think, unless contracts have been signed and it's a long way to 24, there could be a possibility of them being the guinea pig for Audi, excuse me. Glad you corrected me on that.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Why not? I mean, and of course, he's already got a fantastic relationship with Honda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Andretti has history with Porsche also.
That's true.
And so what it...
In E, right?
Does Porsche and the Andretti name, that combination, do they compound each other's interest to FIA and F1 to get on the grid and go, are coming together, why not?
I think...
Interesting.
I think that, and I'm not the only one, if you look around, if you do a little digging, you have to dig a little bit, but...
Put that in your pipe, Toto.
Yeah, exactly. And so... What do you think, Varsha? What do you think? I mean, Porsche and Andretti sounds like a great marriage to me.
Well, that certainly would be a convenient tie-up, especially since Andretti and Porsche are going to join forces in the Formula E World Championship next year with some terrific drivers. So, I think the fact that the Andretti folks and the Porsche folks get together and start comparing notes about lots of things, could be a good step in the right direction. And if they were to go knocking on the door of the FIA in Paris saying, okay, we're the complete package now. Here's your powerhouse international motoring brand that you wanted so badly, teaming up with an exciting new team with an extraordinary legacy and a proven history in motorsports, up to and including the Indy 500 and what have you. I don't see how they can turn them down. It's just, it's just beyond comprehension that they would not want an Andretti Porsche team on the grid, or an Andretti anything.
Yeah, I agree. And look what the Porsche Audi battle in WEC in Sports Car Championship has done around the world for both those brands and for the sport of sports car racing over the last decade. So, Formula One would be idiots not to see that as a fantastic battle going head-to-head.
And Porsche was in on Formula One back in the late 50s.
Yes, and more recently, too.
Look at the late 80s.
Yeah, with Williams.
The Tag Heuer Porsche went out, or the Tag Porsche, I should say, went out and swept up the floor with everybody, with Prost and Senna at McLaren.
Maybe that's what they're afraid of.
The one thing that occurred to me while I was thinking about Andretti coming back to Formula One somehow is that I wrote down it would bring a genuineness to Formula One that we're kind of losing. We've lost the Williams team and their legacy, Bruce McLaren, and it's not the
Ken
same.
Tyrrell.
I mean, am I on the right track there?
I think you are. Yeah, I actually do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're describing the very phenomenon that is that's proving a drag on the Andretti effort, is that Formula One apparently doesn't give a rat's you know what about their history and their legacy. And I think that's a shame. And it's not unusual in motorsports, I can tell you, from 40 years of doing this. But yeah, it's a big mistake if they forget all the things you're talking about, the great names, the great seasons, the great champions, and the dear departed. I mean, it's glorious stuff.
Bob, we're going to take that clip and send it to the FIA and to Formula One. All right, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back after these messes.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Hi, Jonathan, you got a theory on Mario Andretti and Michael Andretti's efforts?
Well, I think it is tantamount to everything we've been saying. We're now 10 years old and we wanted a track. We wanted a team. We wanted a driver. And those drivers are in big abundance, including the man sitting to my right, because you do have Colton Herta, you do have Pato O'Ward, who, let's face it, I know he's from Mexico, but hails from down the road in San Antonio. You've got Cameron Das, you've got Juan Manuel Correa, you've got Jack Crawford in Texas Monthly this week. The world is waking up to what Formula One is, what this sport is to the rest of the globe, and so I would turn to Ryan at 17 and go, man, you timed that well.
I was thinking that same thing, Jonathan.
So, I mean, the point is, these guys are getting recognition, they're starting to be seen, and that can only mean that more people are getting interested. We've seen that from 440,000. Now it needs some wealthy people to go, God, why am I not involved? How can I get involved in this? Because, money talks in Formula One, and I think if Andretti gets off the grid, more will follow. I think Haas, with their new sponsor, MoneyGram, it just shows you we are now starting to see, and I would argue, and Bob, back me up if you will, half the grid in America has an American influence, whether it be a team principal, or in the case of Williams, Darlington Capital, investor, and obviously Haas.
Well, I know that, one of the marketing folks I know, they use a barometer, or I'll say they use Walmart as a geographical barometer for where growth is in geography or even products. But you know what? Walmart's on an F1 car now.
There you go.
Yeah, good point. And of course, let's not forget.
You can't buy an F1 car at Walmart, just to straighten things out, though.
Yeah.
It's in the toy section.
It's aisle 9,
still,
if you're looking.
Not products, but not the car. Yeah. And Lewis Hamilton on Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes.
Or Fallon? One of the Jimmies.
One of the Jimmies.
Late night Jimmy.
It was actually a really good little interview. It was kind of, Lewis opened up a little more. Did you hear what kind of car he has that he still drives?
A Mini.
An old Mini.
Right.
And he said, and I quote, the Mr.
Greatest car.
The Mr. Bean style.
The Mr. Bean car.
Love those.
By the way, I was just down in the New Zealand rally and, we were talking about Minis because we had a parade of great rally cars and the Mini were right in the middle of it.
Of course.
And if you want to feel what it's like to be a racing driver, get a Mini and you don't even have to cross over the speed limit and you'll feel like Ryan Sheehan.
There you go.
Ryan, what about the timing of where your career is? Your career is just starting to peak. The United States is now rabid with F1. I went to pick up food for my family Friday night, and it was during FP2. And I walk in, and I see these two 10-year-old kids just eating their tacos, looking up at the screen. And I had my phone already watching it, the practice, and I look up, and that's what they're watching.
And you got a sponsorship while you were there.
And yeah. I did get a sponsorship. But Ryan, what about the timing? Your timing is good.
Yeah, I think we just got really lucky. I was 7 or 8 when COTA was built. And then obviously got lucky that my parents took me to a race when I was still, you know, young enough to start, but not, I mean, I wasn't like 5 years old, like some of the top tier, the Max Verstappens, who probably started when he was 3. But yeah, I was still young enough to get a start and have a long enough to learn before I turned 15 and you can get in a car. So,
but that to me is another statement on your acceleration rate of your career. You were late to the party, but you got in. Look where you are now, and here you're going to Toyota Racing Series. That, I just got to say, there's probably got to be quite a bit left to go discover and accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. We still have several steps on the ladder. I'm sure I'll look back to now and think I probably knew nothing. I probably don't know anything, but but yeah.
All right, hey guys, I think we have Chris Medlin. He is showing up on the, there he goes. Hey Chris, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, I tell you, this paddock is crazy. I don't know if we've got time. How long have we got left for the show, guys?
We got about 2 minutes.
It's all you, buddy.
Okay, so I will apologize firstly that no one's going to hear them now, but they can hear them on Wheel to Wheel on Wednesday. Got interviews with Christian Horner and Daniel Ricciardo. Ricciardo one is one of the strangest interviews I've ever done, because to get him safely to his motorhome, we started it near the TV pen. We went through the FIA hospitality unit, through their kitchen, out to the back where the bins were, through, we got then covered by security, like wrapped in a ball, marched past a load of fans to the back of the McLaren hospitality, back through their kitchen. They were very surprised by this point. And then into Daniel's driver room, finally, where he was safe. I've never had to do a walk and talk.
Who had the best food?
I can't say.
Well, now it's like being a member of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
it was mad, but it's been an incredible atmosphere. It was just, yeah, things have been a bit over TT at times, but from Daniel, it was a great drive. I thought his race was ruined with his penalty. So really wanted to speak to him after. He was so down after Austin to kind of talk to him about turning it around. So you can all hear that on Wednesday. Christian Horner, as you'd expect, very happy, but he talked about it being the most special Red Bull season ever with this level of performance. Don't know about you guys, but I mean, it's hard to argue against it. There's a chance for the first time they can finish 1-2 in the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah. What else, Chris? We got about a minute left. Any other final thoughts?
So we've got a few decisions have come in after some summons. I haven't seen one from Nicholas Latifi yet, but both Latifi and Magnussen were summoned for driving too slowly on the reconnaissance laps to the grid. Magnussen's got away with no further action. I'm sure we've touched on it as well, though, talking of penalties. Pierre Gasly, with his penalty today for forcing Stroll off track and getting advantage, you got another penalty point. He now has 10 penalty points. And they will last until May. So basically, one more incident with another driver that he's at fault for, and he's going to get a race ban.
Wow.
So there's still things at stake in these final two races.
That could change the constructors dramatically against Haas.
Yeah, you imagine it would have to be De Vries or Lawson that would have to go in there. So,
Go Liam!
Yeah, exactly. I just chatted to him as well, and he's still in AlphaTauri gear, so maybe he's just hoping for that chance.
Alrighty, you American Express holders, go check it out. Las Vegas tickets go on sale Tuesday for American Express holders.
Right. Good call. There you go. All right, we're out of time. We got 10 seconds. What do you got, Bob?
Last year's result, top three, all the same by nearly identical interviews.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Intervals.
Yeah.
All right, thanks everybody for tuning in.
Fifth and sixth last year, too.
Thanks.
Get out of here.
All right, thanks everybody. Ryan Sheehan, thank you for coming in.
Yes,
thanks,
thank you.
Good luck.
All right, in New Zealand.
Talk to you next week.
Travel safe, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, Jonathan, you got a theory on Mario Andretti and Michael Andretti's efforts?
Well, I think it is tantamount to everything we've been saying. We're now 10 years old and we wanted a track. We wanted a team. We wanted a driver. And those drivers are in big abundance, including the man sitting to my right, because you do have Colton Herta. You do have Pato O'Ward, who, let's face it, I know he's from Mexico, but hails from down the road in San Antonio. You've got Cameron Das. You've got Juan Manuel Correa. You've got Jack Crawford in Texas Monthly this week. The world is waking up to what Formula One is, what this sport is to the rest of the globe. And so I would turn to Ryan at 17 and go, man, you timed that well.
I was thinking that same thing, Jonathan.
So, I mean, the point is, these guys are getting recognition. They're starting to be seen. And that can only mean that more people are getting interested. We've seen that from 440,000. Now it needs some wealthy people to go, God, why am I not involved? How can I get involved in this? Because, money talks in Formula One. And I think if Andretti gets off the grid, more will follow. I think Haas, with their new sponsor, MoneyGram, it just shows you we are now starting to see, and I would argue, and Bob, back me up if you will, half the grid in America has an American influence, whether it be a team principal or, in the case of Williams, Darlington Capital, an investor, and obviously Haas.
Well, I know that one of the marketing folks I know, they use a barometer, or I'll say they use Walmart as a geographical barometer for where growth is in geography or even products. But you know what? Walmart's on an F1 car now.
There you go.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And of course, let's not forget.
You can't buy an F1 car at Walmart just to straighten things out, though.
Yeah.
It's in the toy section.
It's aisle 9
still.
If you're looking.
Not products, but not the car. Yeah. And we had Lewis Hamilton on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
Or Fallon. One of the Jimmies.
Late
night Jimmy.
It was actually a really good little interview. Lewis opened up a little more. Did you hear what kind of car he has that he still drives?
A Mini.
An old Mini.
Right.
He said, and I quote, the Mr.
Grace car.
The Mr. Bean style.
The Mr. Bean car.
Exactly. Love those.
By the way, I was just down in the New Zealand rally and, we were talking about Minis because we had a parade of great rally cars and the Mini were right in the middle of it.
Of course.
And yeah, I mean, if you want to feel what it's like to be a racing driver, get a Mini and you don't even have to cross over the speed limit and you'll feel like Ryan Sheehan.
There you go.
Ryan, what about the timing of where your career is? Your career is just starting to peak. The United States is now rabid with F1. I went to pick up food for my family Friday night, and it was during FP2, and I walk in and I see these two 10-year-old kids just eating their tacos, looking up at the screen, and I had my phone already watching the practice, and I look up and that's what they're watching.
And you got a sponsorship while you were there.
And I did get a sponsorship. But Ryan, what about the timing? Your timing is good.
Yeah, I think we just got really lucky. I was 7 or 8 when COTA was built, and then obviously got lucky that my parents took me to a race when I was still young enough to start, but not, I mean, I wasn't like 5 years old like some of the top tier, the Max Verstappens, who probably started when he was 3. But yeah, I was still young enough to get a start and have a long enough to learn before I turned 15 and you can get in a car. So.
But that to me is another statement on your acceleration rate of your career. You were late to the party, but you got in. Look where you are now, and here you're going to Toyota Racing Series. That, I just got to say, there's probably got to be quite a bit left to go discover and accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. We still have several steps on the ladder. I'll look back to now and think I probably knew nothing. I probably don't know anything, but yeah.
All right. Hey, guys, I think we have Chris Medlin. He is showing up on the, there he goes. Hey, Chris, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, I tell you, this paddock is crazy. I don't know if we've got time. How long have we got left for the show, guys?
We got about 2 minutes.
It's all you, buddy.
Okay. So I will apologize firstly that no one's going to hear them now, but they can hear them on Wheel to Wheel on Wednesday. Got interviews with Christian Horner and Daniel Ricciardo. Ricciardo one is one of the strangest interviews I've ever done, because to get him safely to his motorhome, we started it near the TV pen. We went through the FIA hospitality unit, through their kitchen, out to the back where the bins were. We got then covered by security, like wrapped in a ball, marched past a load of fans to the back of the McLaren hospitality, back through their kitchen. They were very surprised by this point. And then into Daniel's driver room, finally, where he was safe. I've never had to do a walk and talk.
Who had
like
the best
it.
Food?
I can't say.
Well, now it's like being a member of the Rolling Rolling Stones.
Yeah, yeah.
It was mad, but it's been an incredible atmosphere. It was just, yeah, things have been a bit over TT at times, but from Daniel, it was a great drive. I thought his race was ruined with his penalty, so really wanted to speak to him after. He was so down after Austin to kind of talk to him about turning it around. So you can all hear that on Wednesday. Christian Horner, as you'd expect, very happy, but he talked about it being the most special Red Bull season ever with this level of performance. Don't know about you guys, but I mean, it's hard to argue against it. There's a chance for the first time they can finish 1-2 in the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah. What else, Chris? We got about a minute left. Any other final thoughts?
So we've got a few decisions have come in after some summons. I haven't seen one from Nicholas Latifi yet, but both Latifi and Magnussen were summoned for driving too slowly on the reconnaissance laps to the grid. Magnussen's got away with no further action. I'm sure we've touched on it as well, though, talking of penalties. Pierre Gasly, with his penalty today for forcing Stroll off track and gaining advantage, he got another penalty point. He now has 10 penalty points.
Oh,
and they will last until May. So basically one more incident with another driver that he's at fault for, and he's going to get a race ban.
Wow.
So there's still things at stake in these final two races.
That could change the constructors dramatically against Haas.
Yeah, you imagine it would have to be DeVries or Lawson that would have to go in there. So,
Go Liam!
Yeah, exactly. I just chatted to him as well, and he's still in AlphaTauri gear, so maybe he's just hoping for that chance.
Alrighty, you American Express holders, go check it out. Las Vegas tickets go on sale Tuesday for American Express holders.
Right. Good call. There you go. All right, we got 10 seconds. What do you got, Bob?
Last year's result, top three, all the same by nearly identical interviews.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Intervals.
Yeah.
All right, thanks everybody for tuning in.
Fifth and sixth last year, too.
Thanks.
Get out of here.
All right, thanks everybody. Ron Sheehan, thank you for coming in.
Yes, thank you. Good luck in New Zealand.
Talk to you next week.
Travel safe, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.